Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up, although conditions are expected to improve throughout the day, health officials remain concerned about air quality issues. From the Canadian wildfire smoke lingering in the atmosphere, we have what you need to know to stay safe. Also, the annual Stuff the Bus School Supplies Drive takes place next week. Christian Clearinghouse Director Tammy Stahl talks about the impact of the program and all the people that make it happen. And we have another collection of delicious and easy-to-make recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, July 17th, 2026. Had to chuckle yesterday in scrolling through social media, the number of politicians, and there were several of them from states that have been impacted by this Canadian wildfire smoke, several politicians directing angry comments and angry posts at our neighbors to the north. there were several politicians saying, hey, Canada, our patience has run out. This is your final warning to do something about this smoke that is drifting across the border into the United States, as if they can do anything about this. I mean, they're trying to fight the fires. It's not like they're just letting them burn. But a lot of this, and you remember we went through this, what, a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, where we had wildfire smoke, and they were saying, hey, a lot of places where these wildfires in Canada are burning, there are no roads. There's no way to get to them. It's not like you can drive the fire trucks up and put them out. They're very, very difficult to fight. So anyway, but this is our final warning. Posted those comments on social media, and the responses were funny from Canadians. What are you going to do? Send us to bed without any supper? What are you? Anyway, obviously the wildfire smoke and the conditions, the air quality issues have led to a number of cancellations, postponements, and that things, outdoor activities that I know in Rossford, for example, they have canceled the Balloon and Fireworks Fest that was scheduled for this weekend because of the hazardous air quality. Expected to draw thousands of visitors for fireworks and balloon rides and live entertainment and all that, just wiped it off. They're not rescheduling it. They're just canceling it. And so that is a big blow. The Greater Toledo Classic Pro-Am event yesterday was canceled at Highland Meadows because of concerns for player safety, although the first round of the tournament is... Last I checked, I believe it's still scheduled for today. Just a couple of examples. I know in other places that are impacted, because it's not just Ohio and Michigan, obviously, but other places there have been professional sporting events. I know last night the Major League Soccer was scheduled to resume their season as the World Cup winds down, and the game in Chicago was canceled or postponed. They moved it to October. So, and there have been other events and such that have been canceled, postponed, whatever it might happen to be. So, anyway, it's wreaking havoc with weekend schedules. And not only that, the other issue with the air condition air quality conditions is that you combine this with heat. I mean, it was very hot yesterday. It's going to be another really hot day. Fortunately, not as hot as it was earlier in the week, but hot enough that for people who don't have air conditioning in their homes, you know, we're being told to stay indoors and keep your windows closed and all of that. If you don't have air conditioning, that is going to be incredibly uncomfortable, and especially for seniors. So you combine the unhealthy air with the potential for the effects of extreme heat. Dr. Ronan Factoro with the Cleveland Clinic also raising concerns about dehydration in seniors with the heat and you know, sweating and, you know, all of that, the amount of water in your body goes down as you get older. So seniors can't afford to lose as much and sweat it out. Also, some older adults may take medications that can make it harder for their body to regulate temperature and recognize thirst. So he is emphasizing the seniors should drink lots of water throughout the day, take breaks from the heat, obviously stay indoors with the air quality, or better yet, just get out someplace where there is air conditioning, wherever that may be. Go out to eat, go to the movies. We don't have a mall anymore, so we can, but go shopping, go to Walmart, you know, whatever. Get into an air-conditioned space. Dehydration, a top cause of hospital admission for older adults, on top of all of the other things that we're dealing with both yesterday and today. So we'll talk more about this as we go on, get a little bit later into the program here, but the good news is that conditions are expected to improve later in the day, but it will be well after the heat of the day when things will really improve. So this is not fun. This is not fun. Get through it together. By the way, speaking of health items here, among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, the World Health Organization says childhood vaccination levels have rebounded a little bit. They are higher than last year, childhood vaccination levels, but they are still below pre-pandemic levels. Their annual estimate from the World Health Organization was released yesterday, says 90% of infants globally got at least one dose of the recommended childhood vaccines, while 85% of infants globally completed the full three-dose series that is recommended. That is one percentage point higher than last year, but one percentage point lower than in 2019 before we hit the COVID pandemic. The WHO estimates 13.5 million children did not receive a single vaccine in their first year during 2025. That's a lot of kids that are unvaccinated. But the numbers are rebounding a bit, so that is good news. This is, speaking of taking shots, raised some eyebrows yesterday. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, or I'm sorry, War Secretary Pete Hegseth, raised eyebrows by announcing that service members over the age of 30 will now undergo annual testosterone deficiency screenings. And those found to be deficient may opt for testosterone replacement therapy. Now, a lot of health experts are, you know, raising a bit of a, if not a red flag, a yellow flag to this, saying, hey, you know, this is not necessarily based in science, testosterone replacement, and testosterone levels can vary widely even throughout the course of a single day. And usually testosterone testing is done over a series of days over the course of even a month or more. And so the way this might be ramped up at scale is unclear. But the secretary made the announcement in an online video titled High T Department, framing it as a way to keep troops on the leading edge of lethality. And soldiers under 30 may volunteer for testing, but it would be mandatory for those over the age of 30. The other concern about this is the reason, or the way they treat low testosterone, is with anabolic steroids, or what are considered in the sports world performance-enhancing drugs. And those can have a lot of side effects, not the least of which, they can impact virility. So service members who want to start families someday down the road, little concerned about this, and understandably so. By the way, with respect to that, it is rather ironic, but should be pointed out that it's worth mentioning that coincidentally, it was on this day in 2007 that a toxicology report on pro wrestler Chris Benoit revealed that he had high levels of testosterone in his system when he killed his family before taking his own life earlier that year. You remember that story? And high tea was cited as a cause for that rage. So I'm just saying, this may or may not be such a good idea, but interesting. And a couple of other items here. You might be going shopping this week. Maybe you have a shopping trip planned. A lot of people do their shopping over the weekend. You probably belong to at least one store loyalty program. Over 3/4 of Americans do, where you give them your name, your phone number, your email address, or whatever, and you get discounts and rewards and special offers and all of that. Well, consumer advocates are sounding the alarm that those savings may come with a hidden cost, your personal information. When you hand over that basic information, data brokers use it to build a profile on you, and they sell that information not just to other companies. Increasingly, scammers are buying this information. And that's how scam artists are learning your name, your email address, your phone number, and all of that. One tip, they say, have a dummy email. And even better if you've got a dummy phone number, but a dummy email that you use just for those loyalty programs. And that way, if the scammer gets a hold of your info, your primary contact information may still be protected. Just something to keep in mind. Thought that was interesting. Story on the Newswire this morning. And lastly here, among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. This is really cool. Nearly 24 pieces of baseball and presidential history have fetched big money on the auction block. A collection of baseballs autographed by every president since Teddy Roosevelt sold for more than $3 million earlier this week. Hunt Auctions says the consigner collected the balls for over 30 years, signed by every president since Theodore Roosevelt. All of them have been deemed authentic. They've been authenticated. Some include letters detailing their history. The collection sold for over $3 million on Tuesday. How cool would that be? If you're a baseball fan, if you're a presidential historian, that's just cool. Almost wish that that could have been put in a museum somewhere on display rather than in someone's private collection. But somebody is really, really lucky. A little less wealthy, but really, really lucky. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
I'm Jay Fox on the Ohio News Network. The state of Ohio remains under an air quality advisory through this evening. The northern portion of the state is at a level 5 rating, which means conditions are dangerous for everyone. Pool operations, outdoor sports leagues, and public events have been canceled as a result. Smoke will dissipate Saturday as a cold front brings the likelihood of severe afternoon storms. Cases of cyclosporiasis have more than tripled this week, with tainted lettuce and other fresh produce being blamed for the parasitic intestinal illness. Taco Bell has discontinued the use of their lettuce supplier in Ohio. In Southwest Ohio, former Clarksville Mayor John Neely and his wife Amy Logan were indicted by a Clinton County grand jury for stealing over $70,000 in village utility payments. In Northwest Ohio, a fourth child has died in the carbon monoxide vehicle incident in Toledo. The remaining child is still in critical condition. In Northeast Ohio, cocaine has taken over fentanyl as the primary cause of overdose deaths despite overall downward trends. In Southeast Ohio, the homeless rate in Perry County has tripled since 2024 due to the rising costs of rent and basic utility payments. In Central Ohio, AEP is blaming distracted driving utility pole crashes for the lengthy delays in addressing local power outages. For the Ohio News Network, I'm Jay Fox.
The ONN. Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
Our Wynnette affiliate WBNS-TV in Columbus has more.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
Well, the big story today, of course, is the air quality. And kind of like yesterday, we got some good news and bad news. The good news is conditions are expected to improve throughout the day or at least later in the day. The bad news is that for now, health officials remain concerned about those air quality issues. Obviously, that Canadian wildfire smoke that is lingering in the atmosphere. And Dr. Bill Coes, Blanchard Valley Health System, is with us once again on the line. And we are long past the point where this is only dangerous for those with underlying breathing conditions, asthma and COPD. This is hazardous for everyone.
Yes, and dependent upon the person, Chris, we all can react to it differently. Some of those may be minor, as long as it doesn't last too long. Being well, in my own situation, being outside yesterday, I got the irritation, the eyes bothering me. Mm-hmm. Still have a little bit of cough this morning.
Yeah,
but the ones we are really concerned about are the individuals that you talk about that have chronic heart or lung problems, children, pregnant women. And it can give them problems, and then it can lead to infections and other kind of things because your immune system, your body's not reacting normally.
And obviously the concern is the particulates that are in the air. That's stuff that kind of gets in your lungs and then lingers even after the air clears, right?
Yes, that one of the concerns just about this is it's not the lack of data. It's just hard to really evaluate. If you think about, let's just say this has come from wildfires. The closer you are to it, the more likely you are to have symptoms, but they may be different particulate kinds of matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, if you're right against a fire, heat, thermal kinds of things can be of a problem. Carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide.
Yeah.
A lot of those things are lost as time goes or as it disperses and farther away, but you still have the particulate matter.
Yeah. And I was reading something. I'm not a meteorological scientist by any means, but I was reading something yesterday. They pointed out that as this smoke moves its way into Northwest Ohio, the UV from the sun interacts with it and kind of breaks some of that down. But then by the time it gets to us, we're breathing in kind of the benzene, the formaldehyde, the things that do, you know, obviously those are things we don't want to be breathing in. So, you know, this is not just, you know, oh, it smells bad and, you know, it's kind of smoky. There's some really dangerous stuff here.
Correct. And depending on where you may be in your normal environment, if you were in an urban city, especially if you were in certain parts of Asia, that you're going to have more exposure. So if you've been in the same way in the area of urban in Ohio, let's say, that there may be longer term and what would happen. We're just not used to that out here in the rural areas of having I mean, these kind of problems, but it is, and we really don't know what all of those chemicals. There's different size particles. I was talking to somebody that's up in Michigan. They're seeing on the ground ashes. Well, that's particulate matter that's at a higher level that would have different irritations or different problems that can occur versus the small particles that we seem to have at the highest levels net right now.
Now, I know that the general advice from health experts has been just don't go outside. That may or may not be practical for all people. You might have to go outside at some point. And I know that the word mask is a four-letter word for some folks, but should we be masking up if we're outside in these conditions?
Well, yes, it's a four-letter word. You are correct about that. The best advice would be to use an N95 because that can connect or collect the particles that are of small size. Mm-hmm. It has to fit, so that can be problematic. But with that, I mean, I think anything that you do that's going to be of some kind of help. Masking would be best. I think for the levels that we're seeing, we were around 200 this morning, trying to limit what you're out there, whether you have to wear a mask. It was interesting yesterday in downtown Findlay when I was down there that there were people that had handkerchiefs over their face, mm-hmm. that they were, whether they were doing that proactively or they were having problems. But the best advice is to stay inside, stay cool. It's nice if you have your air conditioning on, if you have an air filter that is taking care of the particulates, because we could feel it in the hospital. You could smell it, that the smoke and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is it's also been hot.
Well,
and so you've got the hydration problem that people,
it's not
just the air. It's probably a combination of why we have the problem, but you got to make sure that you're getting hydrated.
Yeah, and we were talking about that a little bit earlier on the program. This is especially concerning because during the heat, we talk about individuals who don't have air conditioning, perhaps, in their home. And for those
Correct.
People, they would ordinarily on hot days maybe throw open the windows, get a little breeze going, and so on. But you don't want to do that. So now you've got people potentially cooped up in their houses without air conditioning in the heat, and you've got to keep the air closed. No circulation. So this kind of adds to those concerns.
Correct. So we've got two problems and additively can cause more difficulties. Now, we had not seen a run from and I was asked about that at the hospital or doctor's offices that I have heard. That was yesterday afternoon. I talked to Hanco and they had not had any specific calls about that. And hopefully that will continue and that this will get better over the weekend. At least that's what the predictions are as far as we're able to tell.
Mm-hmm. I know you're a people doctor, but we should probably mention pets, outdoor animals, livestock also can be impacted by this as well.
A really good point. And especially dependent on what the animal is used to, hydration is really important for them too, trying to keep them cool. I have a dog. We didn't walk very far early this morning or last night for that reason. I think he could tell, maybe smarter than I am, that this is not the best thing that we ought to be doing.
Yeah. And you mentioned filters. The other thing before I get to that, when we do go out in our cars, kind of same thing with our homes. I saw one of the pieces of advice: use the recirculating air in your air conditioner when you're out in your car, because you don't want that stuff, you know, getting into the cabin of your vehicle when you're out driving around.
Correct. I think anything that you can do to keep the from coming into your home or your car or whatever certainly makes the most sense.
And with respect to that, and you mentioned the filters a little bit earlier, is this something that when this is done, we need to change our air filters in our homes and our car air filters and so on earlier than maybe what we would ordinarily because it's been exposed to all of this?
Yes, I think one, it's added to the amount that would go through. I think, at least in my case, I don't always remember to do that. It's a good process. It's somewhat like making sure your fire alarms, that those ought to be changed at a frequent interval. And if this would be prolonged, lasting more than a few days, it's probably not a bad idea. Make sure your HVAC system is working, obviously, with all the heat and the humidity and the additional work that it has to do. That makes really good sense.
Yeah. And I know, again, I'm not a mechanic either, but I know that this can be hard on our vehicles, even because, you know, engines need fresh air. And you're not getting fresh air right now. We're not getting it. Our cars are not getting it. So this is potentially dangerous. And I know there are stories and like when you're close to a wildfire, cars will conk out because of this. I don't think we're to that point, but.
No, I don't think so, but we certainly hope it doesn't prolong last. I mean, these yesterday going above 300, that's the purple. That's as bad as, or maroon, I guess, as bad as it gets, and felt to be really hazardous. And none of us have been exposed to that for a long period of time to know what might happen.
Yeah. I think I saw yesterday at one point during the day yesterday, Toledo was registered as like the second worst air quality of any city in the world. So, I mean, this is.
I had not heard that.
Not something that we want to mess around with. Bottom line message is don't go out if you don't have to go out. Stay inside.
Correct. The air stay cool. Drink plenty of fluids. Yep. At the Inca County Public Health Facebook page on the social media has updates of what we were talking about. People can follow that. There's good advice there. It also talks about the pets. So encourage people to take a look at that, Chris.
Very good. And we have a link on our webpage so you can monitor this air quality as it evolves. Like we said, the good news is that later today and through the weekend, conditions should improve. But you can never guarantee that. And, you know, it's not like they're going to put those wildfires in Canada out over the next 24 hours. So we might be dealing with this again at some point in the future. Again, Dr. Bill Coe is with us this morning, breaking it all down. Dr. Coe, thanks very much for taking the time. As always, we appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Well, 1 week from today, we will be taking the show on the road to McDonald's on Tiffin Avenue, as we do each year right around this time, for our annual Stuff the Bus School Supplies Drive that is taking place next week. And Christian Clearinghouse Director Tammy Stahl is with us this morning. Talk about the impact that this program has had over the years. It really does make a huge difference for families in need around the community.
Absolutely, Chris. It certainly does make a huge impact. And, you know, we feel that every child deserves to be able to have the adequate supplies to start their school year off. And you don't want to be that child kind of sitting in the corner because you don't have the opportunity for new crayons or new markers. It's like you want to make sure that every child has the needed necessities to be able to start the school year off. And our community does a great job of providing those things.
How many, I don't mean to put you on the spot, how many kids did we supply schools supplies for last year when we did this, just to give people sort of a frame of reference?
The numbers are great, Chris. About 1,300 kids received backpacks and school supplies last year.
Wow.
And it's a start over every single year. We get everything out to the kiddos, and we have to start fresh every single year with every box of crayons and markers and pencils, because those leftover items we get to the schools, and we just want to make sure the kids have what they need.
And I was just kind of in my brain doing the math, because I know we've done this for what? It's got to be almost 20 years now. I don't even know how many years it's been. It's been that long. But I mean, that's literally thousands upon thousands of students over the years that have had the ability to start school on the right foot because of this program.
Absolutely. And, you know, the community has been so good about setting up boxes within their work and bringing items out to us.
Yeah.
So we are just really grateful that we are able to continue this program and really make a huge impact. I mean, when people can't afford groceries, let alone all the other things that come with sending kids back to school, it's just vital that we provide these things for the kids.
Well, I know we talk about it every year, especially when you have more than one kid. I mean, if you're sending two, three, four kids back to school, that really adds up very, very quickly for a family that's already struggling to make ends meet.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have been trying to look at backpack prices. I mean, I'm really not finding anything of quality that's less than about $25 a backpack. Mm-hmm. You add the supplies into that.
Right.
You know, you're easily hitting $75, $80 just to get the kids mm-hmm. to be able to step into school.
Yeah.
Now, even without school supplies and all the, you know, the mm-hmm. fees and clothes,
right.
and shoes and all yeah. that kind of stuff.
Yeah, all of that other stuff in addition. And by the way, while we're on the subject, what about a big shout out? I mean, obviously, thanks to everyone who donates either school supplies or makes monetary donations, because we take those as well. But how about all of those who step up to volunteer to make that happen, to man the donation location, to help sort, to help distribute? It's a lot of people that come together to make this happen.
Absolutely. And we need every one of those people. There still are a few volunteer slots available, mainly to pack backpacks and help us unload that school bus.
Okay.
And you can go to our website at cchsupport.org and sign up to help. It's a great opportunity for, you know, like moms or families to come out together, because you're really giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. It's not hard to pack a backpack. So, you know, we can take just anybody that is able to come out and help us do that. We would just be really grateful to be able to have that. And, you know, if you want to donate supplies, if you can't get them out to the bus, you can send an Amazon package to our office.
Oh, there you go.
We're going to really kind of try to implement that a little bit this year. But yeah, go on and order a thing of glue sticks or whatever, and just have them
right.
sent to our office at 1800 North Blanchard Street here in Findlay. And we'll make sure the kiddos get those items.
That's a great idea.
So if you can't get out, and you can always do a PayPal or a Venmo to Christian Clearinghouse, send a check in, and we make sure 100% of those proceeds go back to help the kids here in the community. We take no overhead on this program at all.
It truly takes a village to make this program happen every year. Now, you were touching on this in terms of collection for the actual physical collection point. That, again, is McDonald's on Tiffin Avenue, and that will be when?
That is next Thursday and Friday from 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. at McDonald's on Tiffin Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So the dates are July 23rd and 24th. If you can't make those dates, we can take things here at the office. But we are going to be packing up the following week the school supplies, because Findlay City Schools actually start the middle of August.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's like the 14th. They start really early.
Yeah.
So we've got to get those supplies, and we've got to get those things out and get them to the kiddos.
And then let's talk a little bit about that next step. I mean, collecting the donations is a big part of it, but the distribution is equally important, obviously. So how does that work? Kind of give us the overview for those who may be in a position to, you know, they've a position of need, or maybe you know someone who has a need. What do those individuals need to do?
Yeah, again, remember our website at cchsupport.org. Starting on the 21st, which is next Tuesday, we are going to start registering families, children, so families can just go right online. They'll need the child's social security number, and you'll put all that in to the website, and then you'll be eligible to come out on August 1st to pick up a backpack full of supplies for your child. And additionally, we are doing the Project Happy Feet, which is the shoe voucher program, so they'll get shoes and a backpack. And again, those are going to be distributed on August 1st. It's a Saturday. We're going to try to do everything in one day. So make it easy so people don't have to remember a lot of dates. If you're not able to get in for those dates, then we are going to have just distribution here at the Family Center.
Okay.
People can just stop in and pick up a backpack until the supplies are gone. Once they're gone, they're gone. But we feel like we can easily service the people that we are initially have coming and the backpacks and supplies. So kind of where we're at right now. If anybody has questions, they can certainly call in to our office at 419-422-2222, and we'll try to answer any questions they may have. And again, we need to make sure people understand that this is serving Hancock County children only. And but the needs here are great.
And the nice thing about the distribution is it is so streamlined. People don't have to kind of rummage through all of the donated items to find the stuff for their child. You've got it all pre-packed in the backpack. You just come by, pick it up, and you're on your way. It makes it really, really easy, really
smooth.
You won't
even have to get out of your car.
even better.
Just drive up, and we'll pack you up.
There you go.
So we want to just make sure every kid has what they need to start school.
That's right. And real quickly, this is a program, let you kind of toot your own horn here on this. This is a program that really aligns with the mission, the overarching mission of Christian Clearinghouse.
Right. We are Christians helping in crisis, and we feel like this would be a crisis situation if a child doesn't have what they need to start the school year out. And we are just so blessed to be able to continue the partnership and be able to work with the radio station to get the word out and make sure that the kids in our community have what they need.
And you see that need on a daily basis. So if anyone knows the need, it is Christian Clearinghouse. We have a link on our webpage for more information. Again, Stuff the Bus coming up next week. We'll be at McDonald's on Tiffin Avenue on Friday morning with the program on location for the collection. And once again, Tammy Stahl from CCH, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you, Chris. We'll see you next Friday.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We begin the broken news this morning in the Lone Star State, where Houston woman was practicing her pole dancing skills in her home last month when the pole that she had installed in her apartment just 3 days earlier became detached from the ceiling, struck a fire sprinkler, and flooded both her own apartment and the unit below. Oh, that's embarrassing. Aisha Gilbert says her first thought was, "This cannot be happening to me." her furniture was destroyed. She was forced to relocate to another unit, but fortunately her downstairs neighbor was very understanding about the damage his home. Ms. Gilbert confirmed that she will not be pole dancing at home again. she's done with that. Thinking this is probably not what it means when they say make it rain. You know, that's what they're referring to. Moral of the story, if you have a stripper pole installed in your home so you can practice your pole dancing, have it professionally installed. It's not a do-it-yourself project. Elsewhere in the broken news, two, not one, but two school principals in Florida were arrested for alleged drunk driving just hours apart after police stopped the same vehicle twice in one night. Here's the story. 41-year-old Jennifer Jimenez was arrested around 2 a.m. July 5th after deputies saw her Jeep drift into an oncoming lane and strike a curb. Apparently, she had had a little too much fun at her 4th of July party. This is the wee hours, July 5th. Ms. Jimenez, who is the principal of Pinecrest Academy, admitted that she had been drinking and was hauled off to jail. But the story does not end there. About 2.5 hours later, authorities pulled over the same Jeep again and found, this time, 45-year-old Christina Alcalde behind the wheel. She is the principal of neighboring Pinecrest Lakes Academy and was also arrested after failing a field sobriety test. She reportedly told officers that she was on her way to, or that she was picking up her friend's car and on her way to go to bail her out. Uh, Well, I guess she's not bailing her out now, is she? There you go. And speaking of people who should know better, a state representative in New Hampshire has attempted to challenge the legality of two speeding stops on constitutional grounds. Ellen Reed was first clocked at 107 miles an hour in December of 2024 and then 92 miles an hour in June of last year. She argues that a provision in the state constitution shielding legislators from being arrested or held to bail while traveling to or from the state house made both stops unconstitutional. An interesting defense. For reference, the clause she refers to dates to 1784. Ms. Reed, Representative Reed, says she is not claiming immunity from prosecution, only from being detained during her commute. Although her office also disputes the top speed in both cases, noting her 2009 Toyota Yaris with over 440,000 miles simply cannot go that fast. In case you're wondering, a judge rejected the constitutional argument, finding her guilty of negligent driving and fining her $1,240. Nice try, but no. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
WFIN needs your help to stuff the bus with school supplies for needy students in our area. Go to WFIN.com for donation information. Bring your donation to the yellow school bus at the Tiffin Avenue McDonald's in Findlay, Thursday and Friday, July 23rd and 24th from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. School supply registration forms are required and can be accessed at cchsupport.org. Stuff the Bus brought to you by McDonald's, Flag City Auto Wash, Tidy Rides, Family Resource Center, and 1330 WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. The president gave a speech last night and addressed the nation, talked about Chinese meddling in U.S. elections and particularly referenced the 2020 presidential election and all of that. By coincidence, this was not planned, but this was by coincidence, a new Pew Research Center survey that was released this week. Of over 42,000 adults across 36 countries finds that China is now viewed more favorably than the U.S. in most nations surveyed. Let me just repeat that. 42,000 adults were surveyed across 36 countries, and China overall now viewed more favorably than the U.S. in most of the nations that were surveyed. That includes our closest neighbors in Canada. 44% now hold a favorable view of China versus 33% for the U.S. And in Mexico, the gap is 59 to 40%. Confidence in President Trump specifically has fallen sharply. Xi Jinping leading Mr. Trump by double digits across several European nations. The U.S. does retain higher ratings than China in nine countries. It's within the margin of error in Brazil, Ghana, and Hungary, and broader support in the survey in Poland, India, Japan, the Philippines, South Korea, and Israel. Well, you would hope that Israel would be supportive of us, given all of the support that we have given Israel in that region, especially of late. But one area where the U.S. still gets higher ratings than China has to do with personal freedoms. 39%, and again, 42,000 adults across 36 different countries, 39% say the U.S. government respects the personal freedoms of its people, while only 26% say the same about China. So the U.S. does fare better when asked that question, but I look at it and I say 39%. That's still pretty low for a country that, you know, prides itself on personal freedom of its people. So this is what other countries believe about us. Now, that may or may not reflect reality, but that's what others believe about the U.S. Maybe you care, maybe you don't, but it's interesting stuff there in that Pew Research Center survey. Once again, my wife, Kyra, has joined us in the studio. She has in her hot little hand another collection of recipes from Kyra's kitchen. And what is it? Any gathering that you have in the summertime? It's a family reunion. It's a church picnic. Whatever. What is the one thing, at least in Ohio, that you have to have at any of these gatherings? Shredded chicken.
Yeah.
Shredded chicken.
Yes.
It is a staple of any summer gatherings. Now, my wife, Kyra, is not a big fan of shredded chicken.
Yeah. There are certain ways I like my own shredded chicken, but others
but
not
this
so much.
Is, I this bring is, it up because this is a shredded chicken recipe that takes this and amps it up to the next level.
Yeah, it's really good.
It is.
I really like
it. Really good.
Yeah.
This is slow cooker chicken bacon ranch sandwiches.
Yes. So this is 3 boneless, skinless chicken breasts, 8-ounce cream cheese, 1 1-ounce dry ranch seasoning packet. And I see that I missed one of my ingredients, and that is a cup of chicken broth.
Okay.
So I will add that.
So we'll add that into the...
Yeah, to the Facebook.
Okay.
A cup of chicken broth, 2 cups of cheddar cheese shredded, 12 slices of bacon cooked and chopped, 4 scallions chopped. That's optional. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. And 6 hamburger buns. So spray the slow cooker with cooking spray and add your chicken breast. Sprinkle the ranch dressing over the chicken and place the cream cheese on top of the seasoning. And then you add the cup of chicken broth in there also.
Okay.
Cover and cook on low for 6 hours or high for 4 hours. When the chicken is cooked through, shred the chicken, stir to complete, combine the cream cheese, everything all together, all your stuff, your seasonings and everything. Let that cook for about another 10 minutes or so. Stir in the bacon and scallions and another cup of cheddar cheese, if you like.
Yeah.
I didn't use the scallions. I just did the bacon, which was really good.
Yes.
Cover and let the cheese melt for 10 minutes. Serve on a bun, sprinkle with some more cheese, and enjoy.
So this is like a creamy shredded chicken.
Yes.
It's almost like an Alfredo type sauce.
Almost,
With the chicken, but it is really, really
it is.
Good.
It's now, really good.
Again, I don't know if you... this makes 6, obviously. You need 6 hamburger buns.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can scale that up for like a church picnic.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sure
you could.
Can.
Yeah.
You know, but that's really, really good stuff.
Yes.
So to go along with that, what's the other thing that you have at all of these summer gatherings? Potato salad.
Yes.
This is a roasted potato salad.
So this is 1.5 pounds of baby gold and red potatoes and or both. A half a cup of sweet onion diced, 1/4 cup of olive oil, 1 teaspoon dried basil, 1/2 teaspoon dried rosemary, 1/2 teaspoon smoked paprika, 1/2 teaspoon garlic powder, salt and pepper to taste, and 6 strips of bacon cooked and crumbled. Then for the dressing, it's 1 cup mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons white wine vinegar, 1/2 of a 1-ounce package of dill dip seasoning. That's the dry packet. Mm-hmm. 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard and 1 tablespoon of horseradish sauce. So heat your oven to 450 degrees, wash potatoes, dry them, and slice them in half. Place potatoes and onion in a pile on the parchment-lined baking sheet. Drizzle with the olive oil. Seasoning and salt and pepper. Toss to coat the potatoes evenly and spread in a single layer. Roast potatoes for 20 to 25 minutes, mixing halfway through. And while those are cooking, you can combine your mayonnaise, vinegar, dill seasoning, mustard, and horseradish. Mix that all up. Put that in the fridge until your potatoes are done. the thing with the potatoes, just make sure when you stick a fork into it, it kind of slides in there real nice and easy. Yeah. Then you know your potatoes are done.
Right.
Transfer the roasted potatoes to a serving plate, top with some crumbled bacon, and drizzle with the dressing, and enjoy.
The roasted potato salad. And then for dessert, this is great. No-bake monster cookies. Everyone loves monster cookies.
Yes.
And these are no-bake monster cookies.
Yeah. So this is 6 tablespoons of butter softened, 6 tablespoons of sugar, 1/4 cup of brown sugar, 3/4 cup creamy peanut butter, 6 tablespoons of quick cookie notes. That's going to be pulsed in a food processor, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 1/2 cups of quick cookie notes. You're not going to pulse these in the food processor.
Okay, so the whole oats.
Right.
You're going to pulse the quick cooking oats.
Yeah.
But the or the whole oats you put in the food processor, quick oats not.
Okay. Correct.
Okay. Yes. I got it.
Now, 10 tablespoons of miniature M&Ms divided into 8 tablespoons and 2 tablespoons, 1 cup semi-sweet chocolate chips, and 3 tablespoons of heavy cream. So line an 8-inch baking dish with foil or parchment paper and a large bowl. Cream together the butter, sugar, and brown sugar. Add the peanut butter and mix well. Place 6 tablespoons of quick cooking oats into a food processor and pulse until finely ground. Add the ground oats to the large mixing bowl with the sugar and peanut butter mixture. Add the vanilla salt mix until blended. Slowly add 1 1/2 cups of oats and 1/2 cup of M&Ms to the mixture. Stir as you go. Press the mixture into your prepared pan. Warm the heavy cream in the microwave for about 40 seconds. Add the chocolate chips and stir until the chips are melted. For this, I like using the mini chips for these.
Okay.
Because they melt quicker and it's easier.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Just a suggestion. You don't have to, but that's what I do. Spread the...
I was going to say, or you could do the mini chocolate chips in the part that you mix in, and then or the mini M&Ms,
right.
And then use the regular size M&Ms when you put those on
the
top.
Those are the M&Ms. This is the chocolate chips. So you have a layer of chocolate. So you have a layer of cookie, right. Then you have a layer of chocolate. Spread the chocolate over the cookie dough. Then you sprinkle the rest of the M&Ms. Your other set of M&Ms are in your first batch, your peanut butter batch.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And well, then that's there's what I was chocolate. There's a chocolate layer on top.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's almost like a Reese cup type.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. So then cover and refrigerate for at least 2 hours or until set, cut into squares, and enjoy.
All right.
So you have a layer of peanut butter, a layer of chocolate, and some more M&Ms. Yummy.
Let's see here. So again, the slow cooker chicken bacon ranch sandwiches, the roasted potato salad, and the no-bake monster cookies for you this morning. Good stuff there, and you will be the hit of the gathering.
Yes.
For your next church picnic or family reunion, whatever it might happen to be. We've got those recipes posted on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, right?
Yep.
You've got those up there. Head there. We've got a link on our webpage for it. It's at Kyra's Kitchen, WFIN on Facebook, or you can get there from goodmornings.net. And my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Plus, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we would also appreciate it if you would take a moment or two when you get an opportunity and leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform. That will help others discover the show as well. And we thank you very much for that. Coming up Monday on the program, among other things, members of the cast will join us to preview the upcoming Fort Findlay Playhouse production of Into the Woods. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.